You are now listening to Mike's Opinion, Logic Unleashed.
That's right. You are now listening to the Mike's Opinion podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Space. That's today's topic. We're not going to talk about anything that's bothering us today. Right? We're not going to talk about the holidays. We're not going to talk about viruses or stimulus or crime or civil unrest. We're not talking about anything like that today. We're going to remove ourselves from that today. Okay, we're going to talk about something much bigger than any of that, any of the problems of the day. So when you listen to this episode, I want you to just dive in. If you're somewhere that you're not driving, you're not operating any machinery, if you're somewhere where you can close your eyes, listen to this episode with your eyes closed. Okay, that is the ultimate goal of this episode. To escape from the everyday. Okay? That's what I want us to do. Because today we're going to talk about space. And what humans on Earth are doing in space. And all the possibilities that are out there. There's so much going on right now. From a planetary perspective. Okay, that it makes all the stuff that we zoom in on here on Earth insignificant when you look at the big picture. Like when you zoom out, like right now we right in front of these trees. We're looking at it, each individual tree. We need to just rise up, zoom out, look at the whole forest. Okay, space. The final frontier. That's how Star Trek started, right? You ever thought about it? You ever thought about space and our solar system? You know, our galaxy, which houses many solar systems. Right? And then there are, you know, multiple galaxies that we've, you know, discovered, if you will, noticed, have seen with the myriad of equipment that we've had to date, and the ones that we know about that are public knowledge. Because certainly there are black budget things, and you know, that's what they're typically called, black budget. But what it means is governments that spend money and have huge budgets for things that are secret, that we the public, we the people do not know anything about. We're not privy to that information for the reasons that I'm not going to get into today. Okay? But I just want you to think for a minute about space. The next time you can take a little time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes or more, and just spend some time outside at night on a clear night and just look up. Look at the stars. Look at the moon and the other celestial bodies. Mars and Jupiter and Venus could be seen with the naked eye. Now, they look like just bright stars, but you're looking at another planet with your naked eye. For any of y'all that listen to me regularly, first of all, thank you. I really appreciate you. But you know, I'm a dreamer, and I am awed by Earth and by space and our planetary system. Now, some people think it's a hologram. Some people think the Earth is flat. Some people think it's a computer program, some large-scale virtual reality. I don't know. And I can't rule out any of those possibilities. But today, I live as if this is real. This particular existence, this reality, this dimension, this is real. And there are actual celestial physical bodies that are in sync, floating in gravity, the perfect distance away from our planet to keep this synchronicity going, this balance, this grand design. Some people call it intelligent design. Some say it was designed by God. Some people say it's just nature and a big bang. But what is it? How did it come to be that our sun is just the right amount of distance away to keep us warm but not cook us? That our moon is just far enough away to affect our moods and our tides? You know, the sun is this giant nuclear ball of ever burning fire that never goes out. To me, that's mind blowing. There were whole civilizations that worshiped the sun, understandably, because without it, we'd be underground dwellers at best, or dead at worst, living on a dead planet, you know? So when I talk about space, when I say the word space, these are the things that I'm talking about. Okay? Remarkable. Incredible. When you really think about it. If you get the chance, I've done this on many occasions. There are these events, meteor showers. I usually catch the Leonid meteor shower, and I just lay out and I lay down, and then I'm in a good view, or lean back in a reclining chair where I can just easily, you know, without hurting my neck, and comfortably gaze into the night sky for long lengths of time. And you see these meteors, you know, and depending on where you are and how much light pollution you have, and light pollution is how much light, like street lamps, house lights, excuse me. If you are in a major metropolis, it's going to be harder to see. If you're in the country or out in the woods somewhere, it's a lot easier to see. However, with the Leonid meteor shower, I might see on a good viewing year, I've caught like maybe somewhere between 20 and 30 meteors an hour, or of varying sizes. And they just look like shooting stars. Some of them look like big green fireballs. You know, and sometimes they'll come 2, 3, 4, you know, and it's to me, it's once again, fascinating. For those of you that do listen, you know, and, or who don't know, I have a son who's still in the single digits of age, and we have a telescope, and we go out some nights and we've looked at the planets and the moon and some stars, and it's really cool. But mine is not a high dollar fancy one. I'd love to get one that's fancy and high dollar and that can record, and you know, I can put it on a computer or laptop. I would adore having something like that. I would love to visit one of these these huge, you know, real deal telescopes and go visit and get to see them. Maybe we can discover a star or a meteor, asteroid or something. That would be, you know, incredibly, you know, amazing too. But I tried to do all these type of things for my son. I tried to do these things. I remember when I was young, living in New York, born and raised in New York, of course, going to the Hayden Planetarium. And it was, I still remember it. The whole ceiling came to life with stars. And it's, you know, we're so busy with this day to day. We don't think about these things. And I think we should think about them more and study them more. And for me, it's almost therapeutic wondering what's out there. Who's out there? What's out there? It's this vast. It's almost an understatement. It's this infinite space, you know? The scientists say they have seen back to the just seconds before the Big Bang. 14 billion years ago. Think about that for a second. 14 billion years. A billion is 1,000,000,000. It's not unfathomable. It's not ununderstandable, but it's still an enormous task to grasp that many amount of years when we live our day to day. And if you're lucky, you might get 100 years. If you're, you know, normal, you get what, between 65 and 80, you know, and you hope you get you have your physical health and your mental faculties throughout that entire time. First, what, 18 years, you just learn how to wipe your ass. So real quality life, I would say, are between the most quality portion of your life, between 30 and 60. Those 30 years are the peak of your life. For most. Right? Yeah. Because mental decline or physical decline happens on the back end of that. On the front end, you're still learning how just to navigate the planet, right? So those are the years that we get. It's a blink of an eye in the span of time. But what was here before the Big Bang? Huh? Was there a previous Big Bang that lived out and died out? Is it cyclical? Is this whole thing going to collapse and go back to this tiny dot that then exploded into what we now call the universe? Some people say there are multiverses and multiple dimensions. Who knows? Nobody really knows. Some of these physicists, astrophysicists, and scientists, sometimes they just come off the wrong way as if they've got it all figured out. There is a bunch of shit we still have yet to learn that we do not know. You know, what we call flying isn't flying. It's thrusting through the air. Okay? I've seen a UFO. I don't know if it was military. I don't know if it was an alien from another star system. What I do know, it was the true definition of a UFO. It was an unidentified flying object, which, by the way, a couple things I want to mention real quick. One, working on a series, doing the research and for UFOs and the whole phenomenon of that, and go in depth in my experiences that I've had with that. So look forward to that. Also, I want to go back to the telescope I was talking about, you know, that made me think about supporting the show. So I just want to interject for a minute. If you can, please support the show. It would be greatly appreciated. If you want to send me a telescope, or if you want to send me any feedback, or if you want to reach me for any reason, mikesopinionshow@gmail.com is my email address. Again, that's mikesopinionshow@gmail.com. It'll be in the show notes. If you ever need to look for it, it's in the show notes of literally every episode. So, Mike's Opinion Show, if you want the address where to send a wonderful, fantastic telescope for my son and I to explore the stars, that would be great. Like I said, ours is a relatively cheap one that his grandmother gave her. No disrespect, Grandma, if you happen to be listening. But I'm just saying, you know, it's not one of these super fancy, high-powered ones where you know, we can record and look back. But we can still see pretty good. You know, not a whole lot of detail, like when we look at the moon, stuff like that, but we can see a lot closer than with the naked eye. I'll just put it like that. But if you can support the show in monetary fashion so I can continue to grow the show, get better equipment, do better, advertising, better exposure, and just grow the show, you know, $1, $5, $100, $5,000. If you're rich, $1 million. Surprise me. Shock me. I don't even think you can send that much through the means that I have. I have Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, stuff like that. It's in the show notes. That'd be greatly appreciated. I know it's tough times right now, so if you can't, I completely understand. However, there are other ways to support the show. YouTube is one of them. I don't have a lot of shows uploaded working the kinks out on that technical side, but I do have a few shows there. But if you could just subscribe to the channel, that'd be great. Subscribe, listen, like, comment. On the other socials, all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, LinkedIn, all the socials, I'm out there. You can find the Mixed Opinion Podcast. And if you could, follow, like, subscribe, or comment, that would be great. And, you know, before I started my podcast, I always listen. You know, you always hear, and when you watch YouTube, you get people, hit the like button, hit the subscribe. You don't realize how important that is until you have a show of your own. Or maybe you do, but I didn't. But now I support everybody, and I like and subscribe stuff that I do like. And, it's important. It matters. So if you can just take a moment, even if you want to right now, pause the show and go and do it right now so you don't forget, that would be greatly appreciated. Anyway, your support would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Okay, back to the show. So, space. Here on Earth, what we've been doing with space since the 40s and 50s, you know, when I did some research for this show, I had to stop myself because I could have literally kept going. I probably could have wrote a book on all the stuff that I found because there is a lot, but I had to streamline it for the sake of time for the show. Maybe I'll chime in on this more than once. Depending on how far I get down my list tonight. But I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Thanksgiving is just a couple of days away now. So, listen to my Thanksgiving episode. I think it was the one directly prior to this. That'd be greatly appreciated. Check it out. Starlink, Mr. Elon Musk, SpaceX and those guys. Starlink, if you don't know, is a series of, I believe, hundreds or thousands of mini satellites hovering all around our Earth's orbit that will provide high-speed internet. It's one of Elon Musk's many, many ventures. And they've been doing this for a minute. There are already hundreds of these satellites in our orbit, broadcasting internet right now, today. And it's mid-November 2020. Okay? Fascinating. But we've had satellites. There's too many satellites. If you research satellites, do a search on the internet, satellites in Earth's orbit, you will be surprised at the amount of satellites that we have out there. It's crazy. And we've been doing it for a long, long time. Okay. Just last week, SpaceX went to the, sent some more people to the ISS, the International Space Station. There are people right now, as you and I are here together, as you're listening to this, that are living off planet in a space station floating in our Earth's orbit. Facts. Been going on for a long time. Space is being explored, even if it's still in our Earth's orbit. You know? Yeah. Have any of you heard of CE5? CE5. Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. CE5 is a brainchild of Dr. Stephen Greer. Say what you want about him. Those of you that know about him, he is doing his thing. He's got a conference, I believe, in Phoenix, in Arizona, coming out. He has an app. And first and foremost, let me just say, anything that I ever mentioned, you know, there's no ads. This is not a you know, like some slick little ad for Stephen Greer's ventures. I am sponsored by no one. I'd like to keep it that way. This is why I always ask for support, you know, a value for value model. If you find value in the show, support the show. $1, $2, whatever you can afford. That'd be great. $10. But I would like not to have to read ads for this product or this service. I'll do it if I need to sustain the show and grow the show. But so far, I haven't had to. This is season 2. I believe this is the 10th episode of season 2. I do 30 episode seasons. So season 1 had 30 episodes. This season will have 30 episodes. I will do 30 episodes for every season. So this is season 2. Like I said, my podcast is only just a bit over 6 months old. I think 7 months old, actually. So anyway, back to Stephen Greer. He is an experiencer. He is one who says we can, with proper focused thought, initiate contact with alien civilizations. Pause for a minute. I just want to help you get beyond the stigma of that. Because today, the media still treats sightings, which is changing significantly, but a lot of people ridicule this. Oh, little green man. You know, as if it's unlikely or impossible, when in fact the contrary is true. It's actual. It's actual. To think that there aren't other civilizations, intelligent beings out in the cosmos is just frankly utterly ridiculous when you think about it. When you think of the billions of planets, galaxies, star systems, just in our Milky Way alone, hundreds of millions just in our galaxy. Okay? Why we're not part of the intergalactic community? You know why? In my opinion, this is Mike's opinion. I always say my opinion. It may be more than that. Maybe a hypothesis. I should have named this show Mike's Hypothesis. But we're not ready yet. We're not that far removed from cavemen. We're violent. And I'm just talking generally speaking. If you were an alien and you were floating in your spaceship and you had these wonderful observational capabilities, you can tune into our TV, you can tune into our news, you can see what's happening all around the planet, you would see famine and hunger and violence and not a global, content, peaceful, cooperative community of people. We're not there yet. Sad to say. humans, we got issues. We got a long way to go before we can come together. But I'm optimistic. I think it can happen. I think it will happen. May it take eons or millennia? I don't know. I hope not. Maybe not even centuries, but who knows? But we're not ready yet. So there may be those that are watching us and say, no, Earthling's not ready yet. Let's move on to the next star system. So to support that theory, that hypothesis, that I believe that there are other space travelers who have conquered the challenges of space travel, who have branched out from their civilizations and their planets, I'd like you to consider this. We are the aliens on other celestial bodies. Two in particular, and I'm going to dig deeper or share some more information, but just two. The moon and Mars. Man has stepped foot on one. We've got rovers the size of cars on the other, on Mars. Not just one. So we're on other planets, right? And we've only been in this technological age with the internet and these supercomputers for what? 30 years? Huh? We haven't been flying, as I say, thrusting through the air for 100 years or so, maybe? Huh? If that? When did the Wright brothers launch that first plane? I don't recall at the moment. However, my point is, we're in our infancy from a technological standpoint. It's growing exponentially. And I wonder if somebody already has it and they're just siphoning it out to us. Because guess what? The 8K television is coming. Right? Okay? So we went from listening to radio. Actually, we went from telling stories, then listening to radio, then the black and white television, then the color, the advent of the color television, and then high definition television, and then the internet, and now we got 4K, super clear audio and video, and the 8K is coming. How clear is it going to get, right? These computing powers, what we hold in our hand, the computing powers of our smartphones is comparable, you know, 40 years ago to what would have filled a room for the same computing power. Okay, so imagine for a second, 100 years from now, 2120, what technology is going to exist then? What will we be capable, what will we be capable of then? Yeah. None of us will be here that are listening to this. Possibly. Because there's some life extending. And I got I'm working on some episodes on that too. On life extension. On immortality. As a subject. So anyway. Just to delve a little deeper. Into our interplanetary existence on Earth. I just want to mention a couple of devices. They're either rovers, probes, or observers. Okay. On Mercury, in 2015, the United States has one called MESSENGER. This is a very short list from the list. If you want to do the research, check it out. There's a long list going back to the 50s. 1959 is the earliest I could find. And while I'm on that, I'll just go ahead and mention that the USSR and the USA, it was 1959 when we sent one of the first, you know, probes out. But Mercury, MESSENGER, we have the Venera 3 through 14. These were different iterations. Venera 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 14. and that was Russia, the USSR, from the 60s, were out there exploring Venus. Venus. Also in Venus, 1978 was Pioneer. Okay? Mars. Mars has had a bunch of rovers and landers. Okay? To mention a few, Viking back in the 70s. The Spirit and Opportunity in 04. And these are just the ones that we know about, not the top secret ones. Okay? We are either in that planet's orbit or we are on the ground. In the short amount of time we've acquired these technologies, we have launched and orbited and or landed. We're the aliens. So if there's any life form, intelligent or not, they have been invaded by us in some form or fashion. Knowing that, how could you think civilizations more advanced than us wouldn't be here? Couldn't be here. Couldn't be checking us out or have checked us out. Or maybe they have cloaking, or they have the ability to look like a human. Okay? We have technology now that can make a video of you, make you look like you said something in your voice that you didn't even say. Okay? Deep fakes. Yeah. Anyway. Jupiter. There was Galileo in 1985. That was here in the United States. We did that. Saturn. Cassini. These, like I said, are either rovers, probes, or observers. Saturn, Cassini, the moon. The moon is the, when I was doing the research for this, is the hottest celestial body that we have been interested in and have visited or sent probes or have landed on. And it makes you wonder, and there are some conspiracy theorists out there that says the dark side of the moon was already inhabited by other creatures, and we have people living on the moon right now. There are those that subscribe to that, that believe that. How could they ever prove it, right? There are some that say they were part of the space programs that say they can prove it, but of course they're debunked because we, some of us, are not open-minded enough to consider this as a possibility. Not even to consider it as a possibility. I'm not even saying believe it, but to consider it as a possibility. But when you think about these facts that I am uttering right here today, right now, we're the aliens. Excuse me. We are the aliens, right? The moon has had pretty sure it's a finite amount of numbers, but literally tens and tens and tens. I didn't count, but when I was doing this research, the moon is by far of significant interest. And we're going back. The United States, we're going back. We're planning on going back soon to the moon. Why? What's on the moon? Elon Musk and his SpaceX. Planning on putting people on Mars to live in glass domed cities or congregations. We are going to be exploring and living and venturing out on other planets. It's true. We've explored the moon, one of the moons of Mars, Phobos, Titan, which is a moon of Saturn. We sent the Huygens probe, the European Space Agency did. We've landed on various asteroids like Eros, Itokawa, Ryugu, and Bennu. We've explored comets. You know, I can't tell you enough my personal interest in this and it's not just because of some of the extraordinary experiences that I've had, like I said, which will be coming up in the series, on UFOs and stuff like that. But I've just always been fascinated as a kid, just looking up, you know, we're on this planet and, what's out there? I've always been curious what's out there. When I was doing the research for this episode, I wanted to find out about telescopes, you know, space telescopes in particular. I didn't even know there were that many kinds of telescopes. Okay, and just let me share with you, there are microwave telescopes, ultraviolet telescopes, visible light telescopes, particle detection telescopes, gravitational wave telescopes, X-ray, gamma ray, infrared, submillimeter, and radio. Those are the basic types of that's a lot of space telescopes. We've launched these telescopes, and this is the type of things they're looking at. You know, they're looking for X-rays. They're looking through X-ray lens or ultraviolet lens. You know, they're trying to detect gravitational waves. And a lot of people don't want to get into this because it gets a little complex, right? When you start thinking about this, I'm no scientist, so it's easy for them to jump right over my head and start talking in lingo and language that I don't know. What are you talking about? I don't know what they're talking about. They can lose me if it's not described in a way or explained in a way that me, the layman, can understand, right? But when I think about other civilizations that understood space just as well, or if not better, like the Mayans or the Egyptians, right? Were they visited and interacted with beings from another planet? Did they just approach things differently and understand things differently? Perhaps, you know, they were able to see and acknowledge these celestial bodies and these other planets without the use of modern day technology or powerful telescopes. How'd they do it? How did they do it? It's said that the Great Pyramid and the pyramids, immediately there, there's three pyramids nearly perfectly aligned with Orion's belt. How does that happen? Orion's belt, by, if you don't know, is a star constellation. Yeah. You know, I surely you've heard of some of these telescopes, like the Hubble, right? Ultraviolet and visible light. The Hubble has given us extraordinary photographs. If you want to take a look at some of the things that are out there, Google, I hate saying that. I don't hate it, but I just, you know, Google ain't paying me no money. So why should I say that? Search! Search on the internet Hubble images. You should be amazed by what you see. You know, I look at them often and I'm amazed, you know, are there life forms out there? You know, what's out there? Who's out there? I want to know. I would love to see and explore. Listen, if there's any secret, powerful societies listening to my podcast, and you have the ability, you're traversing space and leaving the planet regularly, if you have the means to bring me back, I want to go. I would like to go. I can handle it and I could keep it secret. I wouldn't tell anybody, not even my wife. I wouldn't tell anybody, take me off planet, let me see, and I'll come back, boom, and I'll be wild and amazed. And maybe I can contribute positively to some intergalactic greatness on the behalf of planet Earth. You know, I'm a dreamer, y'all. I told y'all that, you know, but the Hubble, then there's the Swift, the Iris, the Kepler. These are all telescopes, space telescopes. Soon to be launched is the Webb, James Webb telescope. I believe it's slated for October 2021. Which is supposed to be outdo the Hubble. You know, and like I said, these are the ones that we are privy to. These are the ones that we know about. Surely there are other space ventures, whether it be telescopes, rovers, probes, trips. You know, I had a theory, and God bless those that died when the space shuttle, the Challenger, I believe, when it blew up, right? And supposedly it was a malfunction. Challenger blew up. We lost those astronauts. Suppose we didn't. Suppose we had no other way to send these astronauts on a one-way exploratory space mission. We, you know, a lot of these people in control don't think the general public can handle. And I'm almost inclined to agree with them to some point. We can't say that we're sending these astronauts on a one-way trip to explore space and other planets and they will never return. Or we've got a signal from a planet. We're sending these astronauts there. So they fake the Challenger. We think the astronauts are dead. When in fact, they are on the adventure of a lifetime. To the families of those that may have died, I mean no disrespect. I'm not trying to minimize the death of your people, especially if you weren't, which you probably weren't. If it was a secret thing, you wouldn't know. You would think that they really died. So, I mean no disrespect to you and your family or their memory. So please, don't interpret it as such. I would greatly appreciate that. Thank you. But it's coming, right? A time where I ask for volunteers. Who wants to take that one-way trip? Who's going to want to take that trip? Would you go? Would you go if they said, we have designed and engineered either, you know, some advanced propulsion system, you know, life sustaining, where you can grow your own food, you can 3D print your food, where you can, you know, we found a way to get air from space that you can always have oxygen. And you're going on a mission where you will never return to Earth. And I don't know how you can shoot probes back towards Earth or how far, you know, signals that would allow us to communicate with the people of that ship. You know, but if we can communicate and get images from Mars and Venus and Saturn, these that are, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of miles away, light years, you know, even. If we can do that now, surely we'll be able to do that then. If not already, you know, I'm not a scientist. Like I said, I don't know the capabilities, how far we can go and still be able to communicate, especially two-way communication, or for them to report back, you know, what they've discovered, you know, but things fall to this planet all the time, especially, you know, meteors, so that's a thing. That's real, you know, but I wanted to just chime in today. I wanted to give you a reprieve and frankly myself from everything here going on Earth. It's a fight to stay positive. You know, we have to stay focused and positive and not drown in the negativity. and these challenges that we have. I try never to use the word problems. Every problem to me is just a challenge. It is a challenge that needs to be met, dealt with, and overcome. And life's full of them. It's just part of being a human being on earth. Even animals, they have faced their own challenges. Maybe there's a planet out there that's peaceful and utopian. Wouldn't that be amazing to have a utopia? Yeah, I think so. A peace beyond comprehension, even. An ecstasy. Huh? Yeah. Space. The final frontier. I can't wait to get out there. I don't know, given my age, you know, I'm at the halfway mark, right? I'm past the halfway mark. So I don't know how many more winters and summers that I have left, springs, and, you know, I don't know. Mortality is probably going to get me before we figure out the access key to immortality. And I don't even know, would you want it to live forever? I don't know. If we had space exploration, probably, I might want to live forever. But I have theories on that too, and I'll share that. Maybe reincarnation is real. Maybe we never die. We just change bodies. I don't know. Before I go, though, I wanted to touch and give my condolences to Arecibo. Do you know what Arecibo is? If you don't, I'll tell you. Arecibo is one of the first radio telescopes. It's in Puerto Rico. If you've watched any sci-fi movie, you've probably seen it. It's been featured in a lot of sci-fi movies. It's a gigantic, massive radio telescope. Okay? And when I say massive, I'm talking like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet. Why? Like 1,000 feet. 305, you know, meters. Yeah. It was the largest until China's 500 meter aperture spherical telescope, otherwise known as FAST, was created, which is 500 meters, which is well over 1,000 feet, so nearly double. So, if not double, but Arecibo is crumbling. It's beyond repair. And even though I've never visited Arecibo, and I can't now, it's too late to do, I had a weird fondness for it. I studied it, checked it out, you know, via the internet. And I've looked at pictures of it and wondered what it's heard. Up until 2011, it was run by Cornell. Arecibo was completed in 1963. That's how old it is. And now the University of Central Florida and the National Science Foundation, well, they used to run it because it's really not operational. It was damaged by hurricanes and earthquakes. And some of its most notable things, it found the first binary pulsar. It was also the first radio telescope to directly image an asteroid. So, RIP to Arecibo. But you have not left us without memories, and we have gone on. We have, as I've mentioned, all the different types of telescopes that are out there and will continue to be built and made, because we, as a species, as a people, we are hunting. We are searching for the unknown. We want to know. I'm not the only one that wants to know who's out there, what's out there. Some of it we may not want to know is out there. I hope there's a lot that we do want to discover, that we will find joy and an allegiance once we do discover what's out there. Yes. You can open your eyes now, but don't close your heart. Don't close your imagination. Don't stop seeking answers. But look at that night sky every time you get a chance. Even if you're just getting out your car on your way to your place, wherever you've arrived to, gaze up on a clear night and look at those twinkling lights and allow yourself to engage in wonder. Join me in wonder, because aside from everything that's going on, Earth is still a wonderful planet to be on. It really is. And I can't wait to discover, if at all possible, what else is out there. Thank you for listening. I am Mike, and you have been listening to the Mike's Opinion Podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to Mike's Opinion. Logic.